take a seat. Right over there, sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me close. I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Oh, back for a minute into the kitchen, floors are wet and taps are still running, dishes are broken. How did we get into this mess? Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby.
Let's meet in the middle, the middle, the middle. Zed and Maren Morris on VOA 1. I'm Larry London. Coming up, the band Walk the Moon from Cincinnati, Ohio. And this is One Foot on VOA 1.
Not a soul up ahead and nothing behind. There's a desert in my blood and a storm in your eyes. Am I the king of nothing at all? And you're the queen of nothing at all. Well, I remember the fight and I forget the pain. I got my hand in your pocket and my key in your chain. Am I the king of nothing at all? Then you're the queen of nothing at all. Star in the sky, it's a desert in my heart, and I know where to hide. I'm the king of nothing else. if you got mine. One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other.
Just like animals, animals like animals more.
Maroon 5 Animals, you've got VOA 1, the hits, and let's check out G-Eazy and Halsey with Him and I.
Cross my heart, hope to die, to my lover I'd never lie, said be true, I swear I'll try, in the end, it's him and I, he's got his head, I'm on my mind, we got that love, the crazy kind, I am his, and he is mine, in the end, it's him and I,
my 65 speeding up the PCH, a hell of a ride. They don't wanna see us make it, they just wanna divide. 2017, Bonnie and Clyde. Wouldn't see the point of living on if one of us died. Yeah. Got that kind of style everybody try to rip off. YSL dress under when she take the mink off. Silk on her body, pull it down and watch it slip off. Ever catch me cheating, she would try to cut my... Crazy, but I love her, I could never run from her. Hit it, no rubber, never would, no one touch her. Swear we drive each other mad, she be so stubborn. But what the f*** is love with no pain, no suffer? Incense, this f***, it gets dense. She knows when I'm out, I feel like she could just sense. If I had $1 million, so it was down to 10 cents. She be down for whatever, never gotta convince, you know?
I'd never lie,
said
be true, I swear I'll try, in the end, it's him and I, he's got his head, I'm on my mind, we got that love, the crazy kind, I am his, and he is mine, in the end, it's him and I, him and I.
Mobbing to the end of time. Only one who gets me, I'm a crazy Gemini. Remember this for when I die. Everybody dressed in all black suits in a tie. My funeral be lit if I ever go down or get caught or they identify. My bitch was the most solid, nothing to solidify. She would never cheat, you never see her with a different guy. Ever tell you different, then it's a lie. See, that's my down, bitch. See, that's my soldier. She keep that thing thing. If anyone goes there, the karma collected. She keeps her composure and she gon' ride for me. Till this thing over, we do drugs together, sell clubs together, and we both go crazy. If we was to sever, you know, we keep mobbing, it's just me and my the world, we just gonna keep getting rich, you know.
Cross my heart, hope to die, to my lover, I'd never lie, said be true, I swear I'll try, in the end, it's him and I, he's out his head, I'm on my mind, we got that love, the crazy kind, I am his, and he is mine, in the end, it's him and I, him and I.
I'ma ride with you, mob and get money, get high with you. Yeah.
Cross my heart, hope to die. This is a ride or die. You can confide in me. There's none to hide, and I swear.
Stay solid, never lie to you. Swear, most likely I'ma die with you.
Cross my heart, hope to die. To my lover, I'd never lie. Said be true, I swear I'll try. In the end, it's him and I. He's got his head, I'm on my mind. We got that love, the crazy kind.
Yeah, right, picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. Took my life from negative to positive, I just want y'all to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo, that's
tonight,
right.
Let's do it tonight.
I want you to dance. I want you to dance.
follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. Take it away, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Shaka. We've received really good feedback this week. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson had just wrapped up a five-nation tour of Africa, reaffirming America's commitment to the continent when he was sacked. His dismissal came 2 months after President Trump's reported derogatory comments about several African nations. And this was Tillerson's first and last trip to Africa as America's top diplomat. And so that leads us to our question of the week, in which we asked, of course, prior to Tillerson's firing, how much impact will U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson's five-nation visit to Africa have? Let's kick things off here with a tweet from John Mondo. To some extent, the USA can manage to be closer to Africa in terms of social, economic, and military cooperation, but it will need a dogfight with China, which is highly influential on the continent. And we have another tweet from Philip Onan, and he says, unless they are willing to table something more substantial than China, unfortunately, all they confront is their security interests, but less so their economic interests. The U.S. is like a parent gradually realizing their child is becoming less dependent on them and looking to another. The East doesn't bully. Our last tweet is from Mohammed Awal. Here's what he says. Unfortunately, not much, considering all the mixed signals coming from the White House about Africa. Now to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Obasoge Osamudiamen from Benin, and he writes, the visit, if successful, will help endear the U.S. to Africa again and dispel the perceived resentment for the U.S. recently engendered by the U.S. president's alleged use of expletives in describing some countries in Africa. So, Shaka, the visit is definitely an auspicious one that will help the U.S. resuscitate what appears to be a very strained relationship with Africa. Let's go now to another comment from Facebook fan Uguba Uguba from Nigeria, who writes, it will enhance international relations among U.S. and African states. Another Facebook comment comes from Ken Fifi in Uganda, and he says he, Tillerson, of course, has impact in Kenya by sealing a deal between Kenyatta and Odinga. I wish he had passed via Uganda. And our last Facebook comment comes from Vincent Atuma from Nigeria, who writes, do such diplomatic visits usually have any impacts? In my view, they usually come with empty assurances. And so a reminder that we appreciate all of your audience feedback. If you are a new fan, do drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. And to comment on our Facebook page, just enter these keywords on your screen, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. And if you want to join our YouTube channel, you can sign up to VOA TV 2 Africa. Of course, you can also follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook. You can simply go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page that is on our website. And to watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what is ahead for next week.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Rex Tillerson's first official visit to Africa was also his last. He was ousted as U.S. Secretary of State just hours after returning to Washington. U.S. President Donald Trump has tapped CIA Chief Mike Pompeo to replace Tillerson as America's top diplomat. Tillerson's trip to Africa focused largely on China's growing influence on the continent. An in-depth discussion on what his abrupt exit means for U.S.-Africa policy on the next Straight Talk Africa.
And that's where we will leave it for our social media segment today. Shaka, plenty of social media comments to discuss there, so I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thanks, Heidi, for sharing some social media reaction with us. And of course, today we are talking about the significance of Rex Tillerson's Five Nation Africa tour and his subsequent firing. Our guests today are Fatimata Barry, attorney and Maryland State Delegate candidate, and Sari Buka, Executive Director, Center for International Policy. I have to say once again that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome. You, of course, heard what Heidi has to say in terms of reaction from the various social media. What is your reaction to that, Fatimata, so far? And in fact, what is your really assessment of this Tillerson visit?
Because this administration has not really put forth, in my opinion, a real agenda for the continent, a real proactive or positive agenda for the continent. His visit, to me, did not really seem to have any significance as far as impacting the continent. I think a lot of it focused more on protecting the U.S. interests as it relates to China and trying to ensure that China does not go wedge in where there has been an opening, especially since this administration came in and they say everything is only about America. And also to ensure that somewhere like Djibouti continues to be the place where they can continue to work on security and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure.
But what about the fact that the Chinese are present right now in Djibouti?
Yes, exactly.
Just like the Americans and the French, they have bases there.
Exactly. So that's why I think the visit itself was a way for this administration to try to stave off the Chinese and others going in and taking over where the U.S. may lag, because this administration has spoken so much about not being concerned about other countries, forgetting the fact that these other countries also support the U.S. and the security of the U.S. The security of the U.S. is there because these other nations are necessary partners. And if you continuously talk about not caring about these other countries and making derogatory comments about them, then it sort of leaves an opening for someone else to go in who doesn't do that.
Sari, if you're one of these key African leaders that Mr. Tillerson interacted with on his five-nation trip, what do you feel? What do you think? Do you take him seriously? Do you take your interaction with him seriously? What do you think about the United States, really?
Well, if we look at his interaction just with the African Union Commission Chairperson Moussa Faki Mohamed,
right.
In April of 2017, Secretary Tillerson, who had just recently been confirmed as Secretary of State, invited him to come to Washington and then stood him up and snubbed him. This was a major international snub, and sort of expressing that the U.S. does not consider take Africa seriously, is treating its most senior official representing the continental body so negatively. And then you had the president's essentially openly racist remarks about the African continent preceding Tillerson's visit to Africa. He meets with the chairperson, Moussa Faki, once again, and they agree to say, well, we're putting these comments behind us. They don't address the issue.
True.
One of my concerns is, what are the African leaders bringing to these conversations? Where's their Africa First agenda to meet the America First agenda so that the talks have some real gravitas and some meaning? It is important, I think, for America's top diplomats always to be traveling to Africa. The President of the United States should also travel to Africa several times, in my view, during their term in office, though I don't imagine the current president is really looking forward to such a trip. So diplomacy must be taken very seriously. And I think Africans are looking for a more serious engagement. But they do have to do their own homework in terms of what interests are they putting forward and what do they want from the United States. Now, my own travels and work in Africa suggest to me that if the U.S. is not engaged, Africans quickly move on and say, fine, the Chinese are engaged. They're building infrastructure. They're offering loans. They're helping increase the economic growth rate in a number of countries, which helps create jobs, which helps address this incredibly increasing population rate and urbanization rate. The future of the world, I always like to say, is African. Within the next 30 years, one out of every four humans on the planet will be from Africa. And one-third of every human on the planet will be African by the turn of the next century. So I think the United States needs to recognize that and needs to not have such a small view that it's only concerned of threats coming out of Africa, whether that's Ebola or some exaggerated sense about terrorism, and really look at Africa and all of its diversity and all its riches, beginning with its people, and stop trying to deport Africans from this country, but invite more of them here to help strengthen our own standing in the world.
I think you have a point, some will say, Sally, that the future of this globe, really, as we look at it, is Africa. But that is if Africa, first and foremost, probably, solves the leadership deficit problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about the fact that African leaders now, perhaps more than ever before, they have alternatives? Mm-hmm. Doesn't Washington look at this? I mean, why does it, in fact, underestimate Africans? Because
no.
African leaders can now look to Beijing. Mm-hmm. They can deal with Turkey. Mm-hmm. They can deal with any of these other emerging nations.
Sure. So many of the middle powers like India, Brazil, Turkey, as you mentioned,
are the BRICS.
Exactly, the
yes.
BRICS. They're very engaged in Africa. It's changing economic relations, political relations, alliances and global forums, whether discussing trade or climate change or global immigration issues. So the United States ignores Africa at its own loss. So Africans do have alternatives in terms of their international relations. They also, unfortunately, as you were pointing out earlier, we have a model in the U.S. now of authoritarian leadership. And that only encourages the worst traits in Africa of authoritarian leadership. Individuals who want to change the Constitution so they can stay longer in power. Individuals who dismiss their senior officials with a tweet or a radio announcement, as our president has as well. So the U.S. is both providing a bad example of its own sort of leadership style, and it's also ignoring very real American interests in Africa. Fortunately, there are so many Americans who are interested in Africa across, you know, the American public, whether it's people of African descent, whether it's recent African immigrants, whether it's Latinos, Asian Americans, white Americans, whether it's education, trade, business, culture, there's a real great interest in Africa and an increasing engagement with Africa from among civil society. You have Facebook, you have social media, you have the ability to understand and develop relations on the continent even without traveling, although I would encourage people to travel more to Africa. So I am hopeful because I'm hopeful about the body politic and the American population.
One might also add perhaps that Americans are also lucky because, let's face it, America is run by strong institutions, not by strong men.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's the good lesson. Yes. Hopefully Africans will invest more in building strong institutions, and not just national institutions, but regional institutions and Pan-African institutions.
Unfortunately, Sally, time is not our best ally. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our conversation, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away because we'll be right back with you.
Just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizi Yuwat, and of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you again, Fatimata. What would be your advice to African leaders, really, to get their thing, you know, to figure out a way of making sure that they protect their people, provide service delivery, education, and the sort of things, frankly, that are still lacking there? Because let's face it, ever since I was born, and I'm sure I'm much older than you, I was always being told or heard that Africa produces what it does not consume, mm-hmm. and consumes what it does not produce. And seems to me, frankly, that that pattern has not yet been broken. I mean, now you hear about China, but some will probably tell you that, frankly, this is like a second, another colonization by the Chinese, because what are they looking for in Africa? Basically, natural resources. Africa is not a poor continent. It's just about probably leadership deficit that makes people poor.
Yes.
So what's the solution?
African leaders need to put their people first. They need to think about their people first. They need to be able to look at their country and think, if this was my child, what would I want for my child? And I think that's missing with African leaders. We have leaders whose focus is more on having an office and having control and having power, and not so much on serving the nation that they are there to serve. Our continent has a lot of resources. Even within my own native country, Sierra Leone, 6 million people. That's it. About 6 to 6.5 million
people. I hear
you now
about
people.
Seven. About 7 million people.
7 million people.
You have the diamonds
and
in the
corner. And we have diamonds. We have rutile. We have iron ore. You name it, we have it. And yet, and we're coastal, but we import rice. What is that? And things.
I hope you don't import fish.
That would be very sad. So, you know, people come into these countries and they take, but we allow them to take. So we may be upset and angry and disappointed of foreigners who come in, but our nation are the ones who allow it. And I think our presidents need to think more about the people they're there to lead than themselves, and think more about the people than their party, because we have a major issue back in the continent because we are so split by party and color and so on, as opposed to what agenda we need to have for each country. And I think that's where they need to do, and focus less on the outside and focus more on what we are doing inside.
I see. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Abubakari from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, good evening, Shaka.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Shaka. This is Abubakari Jello, also known as Tafa from Accra, Ghana.
My pleasure to interact with you. What is your question?
My question to one of our guests, I've heard him say that African leaders must also bring maybe their proposals towards the U.S. government. And my question to him is that, based on the majority leaders we have in Africa here, most of them, I can say they are not legitimately elected as a leader. And now China has given them free passage. They go to China and get whatever they want without any condition attached to it. Do you think they will leave China and come to the United States where there will be so many conditionality attached to whatever they need in the United States? I don't think it will be possible. Thank you very much, Shaka. God bless you.
You're most welcome. What about that point? Sally, African leaders, he says, a lot of times they are not really elected, so to speak. In fact, I'm one of those people who say most of them are selected. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the correct word should be African rulers, really, because they don't feel need for being accountable to the people because the people don't actually elect them anyway.
Mm. Well, I would push back a little, and I would say democracy is a work in progress. It's never finished. It's something that evolves. I would say there's more democracy in Africa today than 10 years ago. There are 18 countries having elections in this current year. There is a movement toward greater participation in political lives of countries. If you take Ethiopia right now, an authoritarian government, but that is, the prime minister has resigned and they're now having to face the question of needing to democratize,
But don't forget that the Obama administration characterized Ethiopian democracy as 100%. This despite the fact that you do not even have a single
opposition person in parliament.
Yes, the two chambers, actually.
Yes, but what I'm suggesting is you see the protests that have been happening in Ethiopia.
Correct, the Oromo.
Which forced the resignation of the prime minister.
Correct.
You see the state of emergency they've put in place. So, yes, there is a repressive response, but the ruling party has also recognized that they have to give greater participation, not just to the Oromo. There are some 84 different ethnicities and languages in Ethiopia. It is a very diverse and potentially a very powerful country. And I think the leadership there, along with civil society, has an opportunity to find a nonviolent path to a more democratic system of governance. They've been the fastest growing economy on the African continent in recent years, in part because of Chinese investment. They've not just been engaged in extractive industries, but also adding value and producing and trying to industrialize. It's not all negative.
No.
And even the struggles of human rights activists and democracy activists in Africa have to be acknowledged. And they are reaping dividends. Look at the case of the elections in Kenya. Initially, the Supreme Court in Kenya threw out those elections. That would never have happened before. Now, of course, they reran the elections and there are more troubles. But the two leaders have reached some kind of reconciliation to avoid violence and to try and continue focusing Kenya on growth as a single nation, allowing people to have political participation. Look at South Africa with the deposing of Jacob Zuma.
That's a real democracy.
It's in South Africa. It's a work in progress.
No question about it. You could talk about Mauritius, definitely.
Yes.
You could talk about
Botswana, Ghana, Senegal.
You could talk about Benin.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about, in fact, Liberia most recently.
Yes, exactly.
You could even talk about the Gambia.
Or Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone, for that matter, seems to be, of course, on the right track. But let's face it, you're talking about Ethiopia, more than 105 million human beings. Yes. And it is controlled by a community, the Tigrinya. They form about 6%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look at Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Maybe something is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be optimistic.
Yes.
Well, we should be optimistic, but we should work for the change. Because countries can go backwards as well. Sometimes I worry about my own country, and is it going backwards in terms of the right to exercise your right to vote, freedom of speech, other things like that, without surveillance, et cetera. So citizens across the world must always be vigilant, protect their rights, insist on the rule of law, insist on the accountability of governments. Africans are doing the same thing. So I have faith in the African people to continue this struggle to improve their their governments, improve their systems. I just think the U.S. government, being the wealthiest country in the world, could offer more support and assistance in African efforts to achieve that, beginning with setting a better example ourselves.
But what do the average African really, what does the average African do, especially in situations where increasingly African rulers are essentially amending constitutions so as to become life presidents? What do you do? I mean, when you think about democracy, really, the democratization process on the continent, you probably have to look at West Africa, really, and a bit of Southern Africa. But the rest, we talk about Central Africa, beginning with Equatorial Guinea, where you have Teodoro Obiang, who has been in power for 38 years, and the man who killed his own uncle, that his uncle was a dictator. And then you have Paul Obiang in the neighborhood, same neighborhood. I mean, then you go to Sassou Nguesso in Congo, Brazzaville.
This is true.
You have
These are the dinosaurs, and time will certainly take its toll if the people don't remove them first. Well, you look at Burkina Faso, where the previous head of state, Compaoré, tried to extend his own stay and change the constitution. The people ran him out of office. So there are these trends, I think, in Africa that favor greater democracy. But the question is, will it happen fast enough? Because as I mentioned, there's this incredible demographic bulge that's about to occur as population growth increases. And you're talking about a young population. Will they have the jobs? Will they have the political voice that they need?
Fatoumata, you have the last word, 30 seconds.
Well, I think the continent is moving forward. And I think the young population is the population that will be able to save us and save the continent. And I think educating them, not just from there, but from over on this side of the ocean, will help the continent. Because as we all know, if the youth are standing up, change will happen. The old guard cannot be around forever. And if the youth feel stronger and they feel supported and they feel that their voice will matter and their voice will count, then they will be louder. And if they're louder, we can make change.
And that could happen especially because they benefit from the social media, unlike us.
Yes.
Basically, who were beneficiaries of the printing press. You remember?
That's right. And before that, the drums.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, on that note, our distinguished guests are Fatoumata Barry and Sally Buka. Thanks to our field stations, along with our viewers and listeners. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning is Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.